Good Sunday morning, Jacksonville. My name is Josh McCarthy here with News 104.5 WOKV, and I want to welcome you to another weekend of the Ask the Experts weekend. And this expert show is dedicated to the workforce of today and tomorrow. Pete, the job guy Langlois, introduces his listeners to Jacksonville's most innovative companies, and he explores the career journeys behind some of Jacksonville's top influential individuals. And this is all done, all of it, with an honest and entertaining filter that is unique to Pete Langlois, the hard worker himself. Take it away, Pete.
Good morning, all you hard workers. Welcome to this Super Bowl Sunday. I hope you got up, you had your cup of coffee, you put the dogs out. Now I'm saying dogs because if you put the cats out, the cats don't come back. They just run away. We're dog lovers here at Pete the Job Guy. Guys, this is a special interactive show today. So I'm going to invite all my listeners to be part of the discussion today. The number to dial is 855-765-1045. Get that. 855-765-1045. Now, today, we're going to talk about a whole bunch of stuff. It's all workforce related. The idea is maybe you jot down a couple notes, or if you're on a handheld device, get your thumbs ready and take down whatever notes you need to. But the idea is you're going to do something differently as a result of the time you spend listening to Hard Worker with me, Pete, the job guy. And again, today is interactive, and I'm inviting all of you to weigh in and be part of the discussion. Now, I'm going to tell you a little story, as I do each week when I kick off the show. And I'm going to talk about my own personal journey as a leader. Now, my leadership skills and my style has changed over the years. And I tell a little bit of a story about how it's kind of like having a tool belt when you're a leader. And if I'm going to go put a screw into a board, I'm going to get a screwdriver to do that. I'm not going to use a hammer or a saw. I use the right tool for the job. Now, the old Pete the Job Guy, Pete Langlois, when I, as a leader, had to handle a situation, I only used a hammer. It's like I had one tool in my tool belt and it was one size fits all. And I would just go hammer everybody on the head every day. These are my expectations. If you deviate a little bit from my expectations, you're fired. If you're late, you're fired. If you call in sick, you're fired. If you don't do exactly what I say, you're fired, you're fired, fired, fired. Hammer. That's all I had. There's no finesse in that. There was no conversation about, here's your actual performance. Here's the desired performance. Here are all the steps in between that we can fill in the gaps to get you to perform at this level. That wasn't who I was, but I had to adapt. And I think understanding and adapting as a leader is something we all have to be aware of. Now, today, it's not just me here in the studio. I'm joined by two of my good friends. One is Collins Lanier. Collins is what is your title? It's benefits.
Benefits director.
Are you sure about that?
Pretty sure. And you work, what they tell me, at least.
Right, and you work for Hardin & Associates. And also the world-famous Charlie Jimerson is here. Charlie is founder and managing partner of Jimerson & Cobb. Either one of you gents, let's start off with you, Charlie. What do you think about leadership skills and then adapting over the years?
Well, first off, thanks for having me again, Pete. Always an awesome time. Fired up to be here. Speaking of all this tool talk, I did 12 hammer curls and drink 4 screwdrivers in advance. So very, very fired up here.
Always bringing the monologue back in. I can count on that.
Leadership traits. I think that leadership can be divided into a couple different components. Many different components, but it's really important not to confuse management with leadership. Management, in my mind, is a focus on tactical processes, getting your operations squared away, being organized, being an effective communicator, all things that are comprised of leadership. But true leadership is an emphasis on character and core values. It's someone who I think true leadership is someone who has results orientation. They're able to inspire and empower people, and most importantly, lead by example. Leaders in the corporate world are people who genesize investment. They embody investment, but they also encourage investment from everybody around them. They care about their employees, and they care about their customers, and they don't fake it, because in the corporate world, if you're competing at a very high level, especially when it comes to employee relations, taking care of your own house, you can't fake that level of investment. People see right through you.
Right. There's no like way to, you know, there's no leadership gimmick or something here. Let me employ this and act like I'm caring. Right.
Right. Now you got to be the leader that you would follow.
Right, right. Collins, what do you think?
Well, and everybody's got different things that are happening in their life at that point in time. So, like you said, if you're just the hammer the whole time and you have somebody who's going through, maybe their parents have cancer or whatever the situation may be, that's going to be a big thing, is understanding, and it goes back to the caring part, understanding what your employees are going through at that point in time, and really kind of just lead them to. You know, you have all the answers, right? Everybody that's a leader has all the answers.
Right.
But you don't want somebody that's a robot. Here's how I did it. That's how you're going to do it every single time. If you don't do it my way, like you said, you're out of here. You can't do that. You have to let them find their way on how to do it the best.
You know, a recent guest I had on the show was Brian Burt, and he said it so eloquently. And Brian runs as a site manager for the USO that helps transition former military people into the private sector. And I said, Brian, if you could give your younger self some advice, let's say you go back to 21 years old or so, what advice would you give to yourself? And he said, wow, you know, one thing I would say to my young self is that people really matter. He said, back then, you know, it was always push, and I didn't take the time to listen to people, to understand them, their wants, their needs, desires, motives. And he said, I would want myself at a younger age to be much more aware of that. And I thought that was fantastic, and it goes right into this. I see we do have our first caller holding. Lamar, hold on for just a second. I want to give the number out one more time. The number is 855-765-1045, and you can call into Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy and talk to me, Collins Lanier, and Charlie Jimerson. We're going to be talking about leadership skills, effective presentation skills, and all kinds of workforce-related topics. How to deal with that difficult employee. You know the one. That person sitting next to you drives you nuts all day. And we're going to help you through some of these situations. So with that, let's bring Lamar into the discussion. Lamar, are you there?
Morning.
Hey, Lamar, how are you doing? What's your question?
Great. Happy Super Bowl Sunday to all of you.
Yes, sir. Right back at you.
On the subject of leadership, it's really hard not to be impressed with Sean McVay and what he's accomplished with this team in a really, really short period of time. I'd like to hear your thoughts, really, on what are the leadership skills or traits? What do you think he's telling this group of young guys, highly paid, overconfident young guys, to get them all moving in the right direction and get them to the level that he's gotten them to in this period of time?
Ooh, good question. Charlie's flapping his arms right now. Charlie, take this one.
Okay. Hey, thank you for the question. Was it Jerome or was it Jerome? Oh, Lamar. Lamar, that's it.
Lamar.
Thank you for the question, Lamar. You know, I would say, so you've got two amazing coaches. You've got the past and the current, and definitely the future when it comes to Belichick versus McVay. Two distinct leaders that bring something new and fresh to the table. McVay, from my perspective, is a guy who has undeniable technical prowess, right? He's a guy who is a savant and evident brilliance. I think that is really recognized across the league circles, and that translates well into corporate America. If you've got somebody who is an incredible technician, that's a great foundation for them to lead. But one thing I've really enjoyed about McVay, from what I've been able to read about him, is that he's a guy who does something that I really try to do a lot in my business, and that's accentuate people's positives. What he does in a lot of his offensive innovation is really simple concepts. He generally just tries to get the ball in the hands of his playmakers and his best players. And as a leader, that's what you try to do. You try to get, if someone's really good at XYZ task, well, that's what you put them focusing on. Sean McVay, he's a young Turk. He's a guy who's able to create a good corporate culture there within the Rams, a culture he's relatable. I think he talks the same language as a lot of those folks. And he's, from what I understand, he's a guy who innovates through data analysis, too. So that's good.
Yeah, you know, the data analytics is part of everything now. You know, the more data, the more you can analyze, the better the performance you can get, or you can create efficiencies through analyzing the data. And it's awesome to incorporate that. From a leadership style perspective, you know, when I look at Belichick, consistency. I mean, the biggest word I think about is consistency. People have to know their roles, and they have to be 100% accountable. And his delivery style, even the way he approaches the media, the way he approaches it's relatively emotionless. So maybe he is entirely stoic. I don't know. But the consistency is there. And I used to tell a story about a manager I had. Manager, you notice I didn't say leader. If he walked into a room with a newspaper under his arm, I didn't know if he was going to read it to me or hit me over the head with it. You know, I didn't know. Day to day, whatever his life du jour outside of work was happening, he certainly didn't check his bags at the door and then deliver a consistent product to his folks that reported to him. And, you know, it didn't feel good.
Well, Belichick's an architect of the do your job philosophy. You know, every single person has a very specific delineated job. And if everybody does their job at the highest level, the team performs well. But one person doesn't do their job and the team suffers. And that's a really important concept that applies in every single facet of life. Doesn't matter if it's football, cooking dinner, getting the kids to bed, filing a legal brief, a sales pitch, whatever it is. Everybody has a job to do. And that translates all across the world.
Right. And I think the fact that he gets buy-in from Tom Brady, when your best player buys into what you're doing time and time again, to me, that just shows how much of a leader he is, that he says, hey, there's my best player. I'm going to make him a leader as well. And once that guy buys in, everybody else.
And he doesn't exempt Brady from all of from accountability either. I mean, you've heard probably over the years countless stories about Brady being chided in one of the first meetings of the year, where Brady misses a throw in the third practice in August, and Belichick singles him out, and Brady takes it, and he learns from the moment. And the rookies are saying,
and they go, "Hey, remember how we worked that thing out where I was going to yell at you? That worked out pretty good. That was great.
Very good. We've had Cole holding for a couple of minutes. Let's bring Cole into discussion. Cole, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for being up this morning and talking through this this topic.
Yeah, happy to be here, and I hope you get a nugget out of this conversation that might help you or any of the listeners to be more effective and productive. What you got for a question today?
Kind of going along the lines of the Super Bowl and our two coaches, we've got one very young coach and one very experienced coach. And I was wondering, Collins and Charlie, how has your leadership styles changed over your careers, kind of from the beginning until – now, as you're further along in your career, so have you seen a change there, and kind of what's guided that, if there's been any change?
Yeah, I would first on this with Charlie. For me, it's kind of like I was like Pete, where it was you hammered everything right. There's one way we're going to do this, and that's it. And I think one of the bad things about Father Time is you can't do athletically what you used to be able to do. But the good thing about getting older is you kind of relax and understand that there's more to life than just hammering everything. Understanding, caring about your employees, like you mentioned early, Charlie, that's something that I feel like I've gotten better at is not everybody's going to take the same path as me. Not everybody's going to be as motivated as me. You have to pull that motivation out of that person and the best out of that individual. For me, that's the biggest thing, is just being comfortable with my leadership style and being able to lead by example, but also letting them find their own path to where they need to go.
Yeah, I would say that's great advice, Collins. One thing that my leadership style has changed over the years is that I've become more comfortable in what my standards are. We set a standard, and it's the standard is uncompromising. The way that we handle ourselves is, you know, the day in, day out, and how we're adaptable. We can work with fluidity, but we can never compromise the standard. There's an expectation of excellence, and that's something that has grown on me as a leader. I would say on a personal level, I have come to appreciate the value of routines. We're talking about Belichick. Belichick's a guy, is a grinder. He gets up and does it every single day, and he's been doing it for 40 years. And that's a a tried and true recipe for success. That work ethic is something that you can't fake. Nobody can be successful without a great work ethic, as well as a big picture thinking. I think that the more experience I've had in business, the more vision I have. I now understand how all the pieces of the puzzle come together.
Right, right. Ryan's been holding for a minute. We're going to get to him in just a second. But one thing I just want to have a little bit of a quick discussion on is presentation skills for a leader. No matter what you do in your career, to be able to express yourself and think and speak on your feet, to know where you're at in a conversation. A lot of times when I interview people, I'll ask an open-ended question, and they just go on and on and on. There's no period at the end of a sentence. It's just that one question, they just don't know exactly where they're at in a conversation. I think as a leader, being able to communicate effectively, to address your group, stand up in front of them and talk and have a good substantial conversation with talking points laid out, knowing what you want to arrive at as a destination, and to actually put forth the time and energy to prep prior to delivering that presentation. I think presentation skills, no matter what the position is, can't be overlooked. Collins?
Yeah, absolutely. It's reading the room and understanding where this conversation needs to go. And it's being timely, like you mentioned, not just going on and on and on, but having an ending to what you're talking about, but really kind of reading the room. So if you're going down one path and everybody's kind of like crossing their arms and not understanding what you're doing, probably not the best direction that
right.
you're going.
Right.
So being able to think on your feet, like you mentioned earlier, and kind of change how you're going. But it's that preparation. So you can prepare for, well, let me think, what questions do I believe that they'll ask? So then you have those questions already answered. So when they do ask those questions, you're prepared. So
right.
preparation.
And you know, if you don't care, you wing it. And when you wing it, it shows, and then people know you don't care. Charlie?
Yeah, I would say preparation is by far the number one tried and true tactic to being a great oral or oral advocate or presenter of any sorts. I have a couple of complimentary things that I would think is pretty good for our listeners to employ, and I've got to use these type of features in trial, and whether it's presenting to a boardroom or presenting to a court. I always like to have effective use of technology. It's really important for us to connect with our audience in a couple different ways. The technology, you can blow it with technology, so you better be efficient and effective with how you use technology. But I think that's when you do it right, you can use technology benefit. Fundamentally, when you're doing presentations, you want to promote engagement. You have to have a conversation with people. It can't be this unilateral one-way street. You know, it's a bilateral discourse, just dyadic communication back and forth with your audience, and that's really important. I think it's great to have physical takeaways, you know, particularly if you're doing a sales pitch of any type or you're doing some type of educational presentation. You don't want your consuming public to just enjoy that 15 minutes of you. You want them to enjoy whatever message you're going to give for the next 10 years, have that physical takeaway. And then on the sales side, you want to ensure that your presentation is really only effective as your follow-up. It's nice that you make a good forming engagement and people have an opinion of you. You make them feel good about your knowledge and what you're going to bring to the table. But if you don't follow up and further connect and ingrain yourself in that relationship, then the presentation was kind of worthless.
Right. Good point. We've had Ryan on hold for quite a bit. Let's bring Ryan into discussion. Ryan, welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Hey, Pete, the job guy. What's going on? Happy Super Bowl Sunday.
Yeah, same to you, my friend. What can I do for you this morning?
So I had a question. I know you guys are talking about leadership traits and things like that, and you guys are obviously people who are in a position to hire people. How are you in an interview and when you're evaluating someone for a position? What kind of questions or what are you looking for in someone that's going to make you think this person is going to be a good leader?
You know, that's a good question. And what I look for in individuals varies by the type of position they're interviewing for. When I look for a leader, a few things I look for are, number one, consistency and stability. And I very much value the managerial reference that I'm going to get. I want to see who this person brings to me for references. I want to see both a top reference, someone that this person reported to. And I also like to paint a full picture and see what this person's folks and his downstream say of this type of leader. I ask point blank, what's your leadership style? And in my questions, I can determine, because I'm a professional recruiter, it's not an ancillary part of my job, this is what I do. I have a series of questions that can determine whether or not this person actually performs to who they see themselves as. But, you know, I want to see the consistency. I want to see the communication skills. I want to make sure this person, has the intelligence capability. And again, through some very good behavioral-based questioning, I can determine that. But those are some of the things I want to see. Are they assertive? Do they communicate effectively? And can they present themselves in a manner that is consistent with what how they're explaining themselves? And I can do that through my lines of questioning. We only have a couple minutes left here before we go to the bottom of the hour break, but I definitely want to have both Collins and Charlie weigh in on this as well.
Yeah, and I think enthusiasm. You know, you don't want somebody who's just coming in and just dull the entire time. Have they done their homework? You know, ask them questions about the job and the company that they're interviewing for. Show me that you want this job just as much as I want you to come work for me. That's the big thing, is show me what you want. And if you can't answer questions about that, or you're not enthusiastic, you're kind of showing yourself.
Right. If you can't quantify and qualify your own experience, exactly, you're going to have a hard time in front of others and managing others and leading others. Charlie?
Yeah, all great comments. And definitely you want to understand about their character traits and whether they have the inherent ability to, the inherent resolve to see the job through. But that you can bluff those things. People, I've been bluffed by people in interviews before on those type of things.
People are perfect two times in their life, when they're born and when they write their resume, right? They're all perfect.
So one of the things that I like to do in an interview is I want someone to walk me through every detail of their day. Take me through every detail of your day from the moment you wake up till they go to bed. And we spend 20 minutes on that one question. And
that's a question we asked you. We say, give me a day in the life of Charlie. What does that look like when you come to the office?
Yeah, I want before they go to the office, because I want to understand exactly what type of prepared professional that this person is. And you can't bluff your way through that. You have to answer those. I'll ask, I'm a lawyer, so I ask a lot of cross-examination type questions. but I'll drill down.
I object to that.
I'll drill down into what people ate and what they're, what do you do on your morning commute? What's the very first thing you do when you get into the office? I ask those, what do you do the second that you come home? What's your do you check your email before you go to bed? Do you arrange your appointments? Really important things that if you're going to be a real effective leader, the corporate world is a slog. You have to have grit to make it through day in, day out. And an effective daily routine will show whether that person's a true leader.
Outstanding. Guys, we want to make sure you're part of the discussion today. We have Larry on hold, and I know who that is. That's my man, Coach Larry. Larry's on hold. We're going to get to him right after the bottom of the hour break. If you want to be part of the discussion today, call 855-765-1045 and join me, Pete the Job Guy, and Hard Worker. Guys, you're on News 104.5 WOKV. Good morning, all you hard workers. Welcome back this Super Bowl Sunday. You're listening to Hard Worker with me, Pete the Job Guy. Today's show is 100% interactive, and gosh, we've had some good callers so far. What do we have? Lamar, Cole, Ryan, great questions. It's interactive, and I hope you learned something. I hope you hear something here on this show today that's going to compel you or inspire you to do something differently, and it's for your own betterment, and I hope you're more effective, more productive, all that fun stuff. We have callers holding, and what I'm happy right now is one of my favorite people in the whole world and a weekly contributor to Pete the Job Guy show. It's Coach Larry. Coach Larry, how are you this Super Bowl Sunday morning?
I'm doing very well. Thank you so much. Actually, I am a little tired. Went to the symphony orchestra last night. They played Handel, Bach, and Richter all on the same night. I mean, who does that?
I think that's a pretty good story. What symphony did you go to? You're in South Carolina?
Yeah, we went to the Charleston. My son, who plays the double bass, he took me out there. The Charleston Symphony Orchestra is a wonderful time. But anyway, a lot of fun.
Well, what you got this morning?
Well, first of all, amazing show, Collins and Charlie. Your contributions are amazing. I use the case method, and Pete, maybe you taught me the case method. Are you familiar with it?
Now, case, is that copy and steal everything?
That's correct.
tell us about that.
You taught me that. No, it's a wonderful, I mean, and it's really to give honor to you all for all these wonderful tips. I wanted to add three things. Now, I'll be brief on the three different conversations we've been having so far. First thing, you talked about leadership and what makes a great leader, and I loved your stories. So the one thing I would like to add beyond what you already added is this concept of when you think about leadership, people think it's leading a team, but no, it's leading individuals. It's a personal relationship. So when I think about leadership, the first thing you need to think of is connection. How do I connect at a personal level with that person? And then the next thing is, how do I challenge them? So when I think about leadership, those two dimensions, it's first connection and then challenge.
That's very good, Larry. Okay, connection, challenge. What's next?
Yes. So the next thing, you were talking about presentation skills, and so I like to think about three things, and some of this comes from Marcus Buckingham. As far as a model for my presentation, I completely agree. You need to connect. You need to read the audience. Energy is important. But I think of why, what, and how. So why, the why of what do I want them to do? What do I want them to feel, think, do after this presentation? The what. You know, what is it that we're going out to achieve? And then thirdly is how. How are we going to operationalize it? And beginning with why, and that comes from Marcus Buckingham, it's important because people make decisions based on their heart. They make the decisions whether or not I should listen to you and trust you based on heart. And when you think of heart, you think of why. So that's tip number two.
That sounds like there may be a tip number three coming.
There is a tip number three, and you're talking about hiring, right? So there's a saying, hire for personality and train for skills. Many times we look at their resume, to your point, and we look for that perfect person who has all that experience, but we don't focus on that personality. And you mentioned things, I think it was Collins, around energy and motivation. Those are traits. Those are things that you can't really change. You can, but over a long period of time. So when I like to hire someone, I look at personality first, and then I look at the skills. Do they have the energy? Because we might hire that expert, and then we're disappointed when they don't give their best efforts, they're late for meetings, and even quality of work. I mean, that's a trait, and the quality of work is just not there. So hire for personality, train for skills. Those are the three tips I want to share with you and your audience today.
Well, I got a couple things. Number one, and I think we can all weigh in on this real quick because this is good stuff. And stay on the line, Larry, because I got a follow-up question for you. I like the fact that you're emphasizing personality and communication skills in that, because it's one of the things as a professional recruiter, and you guys know I'm surrounded by a team of recruiters. We know that when we have somebody we're representing that has solid communication skills, can communicate a thought, that has a personality fit, the skill set, if it's not quite up to par with somebody who doesn't possess the interpersonal skills that this individual, one is more purchasable a commodity. And you know what? Unfortunately, my product is people, and you know that's, you know, let's put it into perspective when I talk like a commodity. The communication skills and interpersonal skills and personality are very, very saleable. Collins?
Yeah, I think that, you know, we'll go back to what your commodity is, people. When you're interviewing somebody and you can feel their enthusiasm, you want to bring more people in. Hey, come meet this person. Come meet this person. I mean, when you get that excited mm-hmm. about an interview, that's unbelievable. And I think there's also one thing he said that you cannot teach and you have to find out over time, and that's really ethics. You know, ethics is one of the most important things, and you can't really discover that too much in an interview, but you can kind of get a feel for it, you know, as far as their references and everything's are concerned. But ethics, to me, is one of the biggest things. Yeah, you have to have that enthusiasm, but you have to go about things the right way as well.
Critical. Charlie.
Yeah, I think that I need to go to more symphonies like Coach Larry. The symphonies I go to consist of Lynyrd Skynyrd, Guns N' Roses, and the Charlie Daniels Band
those are quality,
from a dive
though.
Bar on the West Side.
So Freebird.
We don't get that type of entertainment. And I guess I got to go to South Carolina for some highbrow stuff there. You know, I don't have a whole lot to add other than that. I think you guys have covered it. That's some really insightful stuff, particularly, and I jotted down a note regarding Coach Larry's first point and connecting on a personal level and challenging them. I think that those are two things that are absolutely critical. You have to challenge your people in a way that inspires them and motivates them. But the first part that Larry, touched on was connection. You got to connect with them first before you really challenge them.
Right.
You just can't walk in like you, to Pete, your original point. You can't always be the hammer.
Right.
You know, you have to connect first, and then you got to enforce standards.
It's well, hang there, Larry. Mike, we're going to get to you in just a second. But Larry, obviously, you took notes. You listened to the show because you brought in every element and you tied it into who said what specifically. So, Larry, I took a couple notes while you were talking, and I have three questions for you. And they're based around why, what, and how. Now, why are the Patriots in the Super Bowl? What will the final score be at the end? And how will the Patriots win specifically?
Oh, boy. I'm afraid I might say something that's going to alienate a whole lot of people.
Don't do it, Larry.
Why are they? Well, all right. I won't. I'll be nice because I'm a New York Giants fan. So I have that over the Patriots. But why are they in the Super Bowl? I really like what I heard earlier around the consistency. Actually, my son here was listening to you and heard you say, do your job. And the roles and responsibilities and their definition of what success looks like, in other words, what a good job looks like, is very clear. Very clear. Don't be cheating and coming over on my side of the field, right? You do your job. So I think that point, and we've heard Tom Brady scream that on the sidelines as well as, I think, with an expletive in it. So that's, I think, why they're there, right?
Right.
And what is the final score going to be? Was that the
why, what, and, how they're going to do it, which I think you've covered, but what will the final score be?
The final score, I think it's going to be a pretty high-scoring game. I'm going to say, and this is ridiculous, but I'm going to say 38-27 comes to mind, and I believe that the Rams are going to win. I almost
Tom, Josh, could we nix Coach Larry? Because he doesn't know what's happening.
Hello?
Yeah.
Hello?
Sorry, guys. We had
a water boy, Larry.
A little momentary interruption, some technical difficulties. Coach Larry was cut. Thank Coach Larry. Thank you so much for joining us on this Sunday morning, right. Super Bowl Sunday.
Great show. Thanks for letting me call in. Bye-bye.
All right, my man. All right, our very next caller here, we have Mike. Let's see. Mike, thank you for holding. You've been generous with your time. Welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. What you got, my friend?
Morning, gents.
Morning.
Morning.
You guys have spent a lot of time talking high-level, characteristics and traits you look for. I'm in the construction business. I handle business development, and I've been able to ride this kind of economic wave and capture some new business, grow into some new markets. And but it really comes down to the people that we have, giving them the tools that they need and then supporting them, letting them go. But those people are tough to find. And again, you're always looking for that diamond in the rough that you can kind of polish up and get going. But, I have a few prerequisites in our business that we look for. I was wondering specifically in your industries, are there some baseline prerequisites you're looking for beyond the leadership traits and the things that you see, I guess Charlie in law and I don't know the other guy's name. Is it Tony?
It's Collins and Pete the Job Guy.
Darn. Yeah, I'm Pete. That's right. So do you guys have any prerequisites specifically in your industries that you could share?
Yeah, sure. Real quick, I'll handle this first, and then we'll flip it over to Charlie, who is on the floor laughing right now because he's making fun of me, and we're having a good time here. But when I look for, I run a sales organization and sales culture. My simple prerequisites are DIP, drive, intelligence, and presentation. Number one, you have to have a drive to be a salesperson. You know, you hear no a whole lot more than you hear yes, and you have to just drive right on through it. You know, you have to have be reasonably intelligent. I ask questions to decide, you know, do people, can they pick up the business quickly? Can they master it over time? And through my questioning, I can assign a rating 1 through 5 on each one of these categories. The next thing I have is presentation skills. And that's the P part. I want to see, can people think and speak on their feet? Do they have the ability to communicate effectively? If they can't do it with me in an interview, they certainly are not going to be able to get their point across to clients. They're not going to tell a compelling enough story about the product or services that they represent. In my case, that's people. So my prerequisites are based on a DIP a rating. So Charlie, what are yours?
Yeah, I love the acronym because we employ a similar method. My firm, it's Jimerson Cobb PA, and the PA on my side when we're hiring stands for two things that are critical to us. One, personal accountability. Two, positive attitude. So are they accountable person? Are they a joy to work with? That's the very baseline from which we hire. But, you know, we want people who are career focused and people who don't just want a job. If you just want a job, you're not going to work at our firm. You have to want a career. People who are providers, you know, they have something that motivates them to get it into work. I don't think silver spooners have done very well at our firm. And I don't know that that's a universal axiom, but I can tell you that's something that we've acquired through our experience. You know, we want competitors, people who are goal-oriented, who are achievers, ambitious, and exceptional communicators, both verbally and in written form. And pedigree's nice, you know, some academic pedigree's critical for our career fields. But I think to Coach Larry's point, you know, you hire for personality and train for skills. So they got to have, you got to have the right person fit for the technical skills.
And Tony?
Yeah. Not too much that I can add on that one. I mean, I think you guys covered it. But what we kind of look for in the sales aspect is really kind of controlling the narrative. And that doesn't mean you have to talk all the time. It's allowing, you know, your client, your customer, your prospect to tell you what they're looking for. But you can kind of guide that, really just kind of controlling the narrative. And like you mentioned, Charlie, wanting to grow, not just be stagnant in their job. I mean, if you hire somebody and they don't want to progress through their career, that's not really somebody that we're looking for. We want somebody that's a competitor and aggressive and really wants to do their best work.
Very, very good. Hey, you know, I wanted to ask Mike. Mike, are you still on the line or did we drop Mike?
Dropped him, buddy.
You're there? Mike, you talk about your company's growing. What, you know, do you mind sharing the name of your company?
Yeah, it's a Shearer Construction.
And what type of construction?
It's commercial construction, typically ground up. We've got offices across the state, and we do a lot of design build work. It's basically anything you wouldn't live in. So anything from hangars to schools and across the board.
Are you presently hiring?
We are always looking for good people, and right now, more than ever. So,
can we get a phone number for you, Mike? And guys, all you hard workers out there, you heard what Mike looks for. If you're interested, jot down this number. Give Mike a call at Shearer Construction, I believe is what you said. Right, Mike?
Correct. It's 296-8080.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Mike, for joining us Super Bowl Sunday on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Mahomes got robbed. Thank you.
Not exactly sure what that is, but that's great. Guys, one weekly contributor to the show, as you know, is Boston Danny. And Boston Danny gives us a Boston update every week, and it's hilarious. Boston Danny also does shout-outs. If you have a birthday, if you have an anniversary, a special event, you just go to PeteTheJobGuy.com, and there's a little section to fill out your shout-out for Boston Danny. But Boston Danny said, Pete, I can't call in. And I said, why not? He goes, because I'm going to the Super Bowl to watch my beloved Patriots. But Danny's a hard worker. So you know what the hard worker does? He pre-taped his element and he sent it in. So Josh, our producer, can you play Boston Danny with the Boston Danny update?
Hello, Jacksonville. Danny here with greetings from the frozen north. It has been so cold out up here all week, but we go to work every day and we get it done and we do it right the first time, just like we're taught, just like we always do. So it makes me kind of happy. I'm heading out to where it's a little bit warmer. I'm on my way down to Atlanta to watch the Patriots play the LA Rams in the Super Bowl. I'm very excited to cheer on the home team and help bring home another championship to Boston, especially sweet because it means we beat LA, a big rivalry up here. Give me the East Coast any day. It's the right coast. So here's a few tidbits about the New England Patriots you might find interesting. Love them or hate them, there's no denying that the New England Patriots have forged a football dynasty. But the New England Patriots weren't always our football team. In 1929, the Boston Bulldogs were created and they were dismantled in the same year. And the Boston Redskins came along in 1932, but 5 years later, they relocated to Washington, D.C., and we all know that story. The Patriots organization began as the Boston Patriots and were founded as part of the New American Football League in 1959. The Boston Patriots won the upstart AFL's first preseason game on July 30th, 1960 by beating the Buffalo Bills 28-7. The modern Patriots wear the star-spangled Flying Elvis logo, but their forebears spent the 1960 season rocking a much simpler helmet design, one which consisted of a tri-cornered hat the Patriots used to wear sitting on top of each player's number. During the 60s, the team moved around a lot. Between 1960 and 1971, the Patriots changed venues four times, from BU's Nickerson Field to Fenway Park to the Harvard Stadium and Boston College alumni stadiums all took turns hosting the team during that stretch. When the team left Boston for Foxborough in 1971, the team was set to be rechristened the Bay State Patriots, but the name was rejected when people pointed out that the abbreviation would be the BS Patriots, and we weren't having none of that. And here's a good one. On a harsh winter day in 1982, a snowplow operator, Mark Henderson, became a New England folk hero when he cleared a patch of field for the Patriots kicker John Smith, whose later field goal slewed the visiting Miami Dolphins. Incidentally, at the time, Henderson was there on a work release program from Walpole Prison. The franchise secured its first ever Super Bowl appearance in the 1985 NFL playoffs. The New England Patriots squeaked into postseason as an 11-5 wildcard squad, and then the Pats became the first team in league history to reach the Super Bowl by winning three playoff games on the road. Unfortunately, their opponents in Super Bowl 20, where Mike Ditka is shuffling Chicago Bears, crushed the Pats 46-10. The New England Patriots have set all kinds of records in the 2017 Super Bowl. After falling behind 28-3, the Pats scored 25 points to send the game into overtime. This is notable for three reasons. For starters, it was numerically the largest comeback in Super Bowl history. Also, no previous Super Bowl game had ever gone into overtime. And finally, by beating the Falcons in OT, Brady earned his fifth Super Bowl championship, meaning he now has more of these than any other starting back in league history. So, again, love them or hate them, New England Patriots. You know, they're hard workers and they're never to be counted out. Love me or hate me, I'm on my way to Atlanta and hoping to see another duck boat parade through the streets of Boston and another year of bragging rights. Happy Sunday, brothers and sisters in Jacksonville. And, Peter, I'll call you next week. Go Patriots.
Oh, goodness. Love them or hate them. You're right. That's Boston Danny. You got to throw it in our face, rub our noses in it, you know. All right, Patriots, this and that. Good for you. Guys, we got another caller. Let's see. It's Dr. Drake. It's Doc's on the phone. He's been very patient. All right, Doc, what you got? Welcome to Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy.
Hey, man, I'm enjoying the show. I'm actually a football coach of age 13 to 15, and my team is called the Patriots, One Sports Nation. It is so funny to see how other teams are just, you know, excited to be the NFC champions. They have really won. They're very excited to be there. But the Patriots, they don't want to just be there. They want to win it. A lot of teams, their success is getting there.
You know, I love how you said it. They play to win. Every minute of the game. Remember what happened in Atlanta when they played safe, when they didn't play to win? What happened? You guys remember that was one of the best Super Bowls ever.
The Patriots comeback.
You got that right. Orchestrated the best comeback in the history of football. How much time was left in the game? Maybe 10 minutes or something, and we were down 3 touchdowns, and they won. You know what? Doc, thank you for calling in. We're going to have to end that call. Why? Because we're getting down towards the end of the show. Guys, my name is Pete Langlois. I'm Pete the Job Guy. I run SNI companies in town. My number, if you ever would like to call me, is 904-713-2550. I help people find jobs, and I help companies find talent, whether it's temporary talent they need a little help during peak season or some vacation coverage for this, or if you're in technology, you have a new release or a conversion, a migration upgrade, you call me, Pete the Job Guy, at SNI Companies. 904-713-2550. Collins, tell us a little bit about you and your company.
Yeah, my name is Collins Lanier. I work for Hardin. And really what we do is we're an insurance and risk management and employee benefit service. And our client-centric approach is what differentiates us from everybody. Understanding our unique situations and applying the relevant knowledge in support of their objectives is really how we do it. You can visit us online at HardinInsight.com, or you can call us as well at 904-354-3785.
Very good. And Charlie?
Charlie Jimerson. I'm Boston Danny's parole officer. and I moonlight as the managing partner of a law firm, Jimerson & Cobb. Handle every issue that touches a business.
Guys, I appreciate you spending your Sunday morning with me on Hard Worker with Pete the Job Guy. This is News 104.5 WOKV. Now go out there and get them, hard workers.